Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chicago. Today we have Kaben Clawson, founder, co-founder, and CEO of True Public. True Public, download it at the Apple Store, Android Store. It's a really cool application. It gamifies survey taking, where it allows you to answer questions 100% anonymously. But afterwards, it also allows you to see what everybody else in the world thinks in your demographic, outside of your demographic, in your region, outside of your region. I'm like semi-addicted to it, but we're going to get the backstory on True Public, how it started, the crazy year that they've had. Kaben, again, who's their CEO, you could see him on a lot of news outlets. I think he had 150 plus appearances last year. I actually saw him personally on CNBC getting interviewed about the election. So we're going to hear all about that and his entrepreneurial journey. So stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, Kaben Clawson, True Public. Kaben, thank you so much for carving out the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
I was looking forward to this conversation. We had gotten to know each other in various aspects over the last year or so as you've been building True Public. But for those that don't know about you personally or True Public, let's just start. What is True Public?
True Public is a crowdsourced opinion platform. And it really, you know, Tim, the first, you know, genesis of this idea, and I always find it fascinating how, where these come from. And really, the 2016 election was this spark for me. I realized, wow, a lot of the ways we collect public opinion data is really broken. Right, they're still calling people on landline phones. My grandparents don't even answer their landline phone. Right, like there's clearly flaws with that method, and in particular, we identified that it was really hard to reach young people across America. And you had, in order to reach them, you had to create something that tapped into their interests and what they wanted out of life. And what they want is to have fun and interesting experiences. And what we did with True Public is we made the survey fun, very simply. And since then, the company's really formed in a really interesting way. We were able to capture all this interesting data, and we've been able to share that data in the media and work with customers like Procter & Gamble and helping them develop new products. And that's been incredibly exciting. And then and COVID hit. And that's where our business, I think, even took an even more exciting path, where our fun surveys are now being used not just publicly by people across the country, but they're now being used internally at companies. And what's happening there is remote work has created, you know, it's going to change work forever, in my opinion, Tim. It's going to be, I don't think we're ever going to go back. And we're hearing that from customers all across the country as well, is, you know, a hybrid approach seems to be the way things are going. Now, there's a lot of positives to that. You save money on office space. People don't have to go a long commute, but there's a lot of negatives too. And one of the biggest negatives is morale is low, and managers and leaders across this country are realizing, I need better ways to survey my people and understand how they're doing. And most of the old methods are kind of boring, dry. Many times employees feel like it's Big Brother watching them and just trying to like find out what they're up to. True Public created a new product called True Teams, and True Teams makes the internal survey fun for employees. It includes community questions, so they feel like they get to know who they work with better while they're also sharing feedback about themselves. And we're so excited about it because not only is it a great business solution, people are signing up left and right, but it's also something I think is good for the world. And I can tell you that in one simple story. We have a customer who's joining us in April. They're going to launch. They hired four full-time, it's a big company. They hired four full-time therapists in Q4 of last year. And that was an eye-opening experience for me and my team, because we're like, wow, this company is realizing that the mental health and the mindfulness of their people is key to their business now. And True Teams is crucial in measuring that mental health of people as we're all, you know, working from home.
So I've used True Public. I really enjoy the applications. So cool. go on, you know, Apple App Store.
Apple or Android, yeah.
Get True Public. I'm a big like Quora guy. I like Quora. I like Reddit. I just like, you know, hearing other people's opinions about certain things. So what you've done is you made survey taking, and then really the results of those surveys kind of like fun, almost like a game, to where I find myself, you know, when I'm just bored and I got some Tim time, like True Public's in my repertoire. Like it's one of the six that I go to pass the time. I find it very interesting. But like other surveys that I've taken, whether that be like on YouTube when I'm watching a video, they make me like answer a question beforehand. It's not that same experience. So what have you found as you built this company in terms of like, why is it fun the way you've done it compared to the alternative?
Right. So great point. And I'm glad you love it. Look, here's what we found. I've done surveys and I think this is a great, you know, thing for people to think about as they're thinking about their own ideas and their own companies. I mean, think about your own personal experiences. Sometimes it's, you can overcomplicate these ideas. It's like, I had worked at companies and done surveys. I'd done surveys for cash when I was in college. I mean, I'll never forget. I was a college sophomore and I'm trying to get a little extra money. And I'm one night I'm doing these surveys. And what always stuck with me was I would click my answers, but there would be nothing in return. And you might make a little bit of money, but that was kind of like a poor return. And I thought, man, what would be better is we're also curious about the world, right? As human beings, we all want to know how we compare. And essentially, that's what I think True Public does, is in a very simple, quick way, you get to share honestly and anonymously who you are, how you feel, where you stand, and then instantly get to see how you compare to other people across the country. And I think that's very human. It's very healthy. And we needed more places, I believe. You mentioned Quora, you mentioned Reddit. I'm a big fan of both of those. We needed more places where people could be radically honest with their thoughts. And I think there's something frankly cathartic about it for many people. We've had, those are the most meaningful. We get these emails from people, users of the app. It's been an incredible experience for some people. It's been an experience where people feel like they're able to be radically honest in this application. And it's a small way, right? Where because I'm honest here, it's almost like getting things off your chest in a way. And our goal, there's some controversial opinions on True Public, to be clear. Our goal was not to draw out the ugliness of opinions. It was more this concept of measuring the world. You know, I've always been fascinated. I've always been a data nerd and stat nerd, and I've always been fascinated by this idea of, you know, where do people really stand and how are things changing over time? And that's been so fun to watch during this time of COVID, where the world's been changing a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the different categories. It's like all across the map, right? So it's silly stuff like, you know, what would you prefer to do, this or this? It's more serious stuff like, you know, about your sex life, which people don't like to talk about,
right?
Or your religion,
money,
or politics, and then it's real time stuff. Like there's a lot of questions about coronavirus and how people really feel. And then I think the interesting thing for the audience is what's so fun is after you answer the question, you could see demographically based on like age, gender, race, all these different things, who thinks about what? And it's so interesting to like, to your point, to dive into that and go like, oh, why? Oh, that makes sense. There's a generational thing here and they grew up during this time. So probably they think this way. And switching to the business, it sounds like that information could be very valuable. The information could be valuable, like in general, but also like if I'm a business and I want questions answered around how people think, that could impact my business, that could be valuable as well. So maybe like talk about like, yeah, it's a cool app and like it's growing rapidly, which is awesome. But like, how is it useful outside of that to commerce?
Yeah. So a couple of different ways. So on the True Public side, I'll give you a real example. We had a customer, I won't name the company, but we had a customer who they've seen their shaving division way down during COVID. Now, what they want to understand was fundamentally what's going on with the way people think about shaving, the way people buy shaving products, all these different things. What we're able to do on True Public that's really worked is we never want to bore the user, right? So similar to like how Instagram or Facebook runs ads, right? You get content you love from your friends, from celebrities, and then you get an ad. Similarly, we run a lot of fun questions, and then we mix in these questions that are more like about someone's shaving habits or which product they prefer. And that methodology works really well because you don't fatigue the user. It's like, if you're on this application and if people try it, they'll see, okay, I answer like five fun questions and then boom, one pops up that's a little more like businessy. And actually what we found, and this was such a, frankly, a nice surprise, especially these younger Americans, like they love to tell companies what to do, right? And I think that's something that's very true of this Gen Z generation, 25 and under. They actually feel entitled to a really strong voice in who makes products for them, because products are changing. And that's one of the things we've been helping companies with, is understanding this new generation of consumers. And one of the biggest ways they're changing, before, a product was a product. I buy shoes because I need to run. Today, more than ever, the brand is becoming part of your personality, your identity, right? Whether you wear Nike or Adidas can say a lot about your personality, actually. It's not just like a, what's the best shoe? And helping brands understand that is, because let's face it, like a lot of executives at companies are in their 40s, 50s, 60s. They might not understand what a 22-year-old's thinking. We have a lot of them answering honestly. So that's been powerful. That's the TruePublic side. TruTeams is, you know, a SaaS product where we take our great technology, we put it into a company. We still, by the way, Tim, what's really cool is we still have all those fun questions, all those questions that are kind of sometimes silly. We were pleasantly surprised. Companies actually do that a lot, right? There's all these inside jokes. People want to know each other. It goes back to the same fundamental philosophy on both of these. People want to share honestly, and people want to know how they compare, whether it's publicly or inside of a company. And that is what the entire business is built upon.
I could see that being very valuable. You know, just coming from corporate America, I have my own, I guess, smaller business now. But my previous company had 10,000 employees all across the country. So, you know, something that would happen in one market might be good for that market based on that demographic of how, like, stuff rolls in that particular market, Southern Texas to Chicago to New York to the, you know, West Coast. But like, there's got to be differences of opinions. So before I make any like drastic changes, that's going to like change my enterprise, whether that be compensation related, benefits related, policy related, I think it makes a lot of sense to make sure that you're making the right move and a tool that is going to enable me to do that, but also like give the employees a voice. It just makes a lot of sense to me, especially like now where people aren't in an office together and you can't like, you can't pick up on like little things you used to pick up on before.
Great point. And here's the other thing that's got me maybe most excited. And I think why the TruTeams is going to explode as a product. Now that we're all remote, one of the biggest challenges is how do we make friends with our coworkers? Imagine you join that 10,000 person company. You're 23 years old or whatever age you are. How do you get to meet people? It's really difficult now. And one of the things we've been most excited about with TruTeams is if you have everyone using this software, answering these fun questions, answering these very serious questions, frankly, around mental health and things like that, but answering these questions, what happens is we have the ability to match people across an organization. And what we've heard from, you know, people and HR leaders and even CEOs of these companies is they know if they can, if their employees can become friends with each other, the likelihood of them retaining is way higher. Right? Astronomically higher. And what TruTeams is able to do is give people this feeling that there's other people like me at this big company, right? There's other people that are into hockey, or there's other people that are into certain kind of baking, or there's other vegans here, or whatever it might be. It's different for everyone. And then really where the product's evolving now is the ability to connect those people across an organization in a remote world, right? And maybe that's a Zoom call, maybe that's some kind of in-person meeting. So although COVID will go away, I think this idea of needing to create human connection, that's never going to go away. And I think our software can, in a very organic way, help connect these people across companies. I mean, imagine if you were at the 10,000 person company in a remote world today, it'd be brutal trying to know, like, where do I fit?
You know? Right. Right. And that's tough for the leadership as well. So that's awesome. This last year, and this is when we met, was over the last year, there was a lot of just intense things that were going on. We had the pandemic, we had like drastic racial inequality, the Black Lives Matter movement, how you handle COVID. There's like a lot of disparity there. And then obviously it was an election year, and politics was kind of top of mind. I mean, you have to have this a lot of interesting opinions and data points just in that little application there. Yeah, maybe speak to last year, and you know, I know you saw a lot of success maybe as a result of people wanting to give their opinions there, but what did you see in the data that might have been eye-opening or interesting?
Yeah, a couple interesting ones. We can talk about what's happened with people's love life, we can talk about what's happened with people's work life, and then also the election. Now, love life is interesting. We've been tracking, one of the things we do at TruePublic is we track people's, you know, opinions over time, right? So, and I've always found that like data in a single point is always not that interesting. What's interesting is how people are changing and evolving. We've been tracking this idea of like, do you have strain in your personal relationship, right? The amount of people. We saw as COVID took off an incredible increase in the amount of couples who were living together that had immense strain. The number one place in the country, where do you think couples were fighting the most? Can you give me a guess?
Where in the country?
Yeah, where in the country? What city were they having the worst time during COVID with?
I feel like New York City would, because they got hit harder and it was tighter.
Tighter quarters.
Strains? Okay.
Hit harder. They were 15% worse than the rest of the nation. So it was really bad in New York this last year. But it was fascinating to watch as COVID first started, actually relationships improved for that first month. Relationships improved. Something about being at home, maybe they were together more, and then they started to deteriorate. And now I can say, actually, we're finding some more normalcy and relationships are improving again. Just fascinating to see how that changed. The other one was work from home. Work from home had a similar trend. At first, people were like, so excited to work from home. They don't have to commute. They've got maybe Netflix on in the background. They've got their own workstation. It's great. And now what we're seeing is that one's not bouncing back. There's like a slow tide down as I think more and more people. Now, to be fair, work from home could come back as COVID goes away. And it's like, okay, I'm working from home, but I can at least go out. So, you know, we always want to be careful in how we think about those. Then the election. A lot of people had this election as a really wide race. You know, there was polls in Wisconsin showing that Biden was going to win by 12 points. You know, we were on the record saying that we thought it was going to be a close race. We thought Biden would win narrowly. He did. We're not, you know, our methodology is not perfect yet. We're always learning. But one of the things we felt like TruePublic was more accurate was simply because of the shy Trump voter. There was a lot of people out there in this country who wanted to support the former president and didn't feel like it was safe to maybe say so. And you can speculate on why that would be, but that was definitely the case in our experience. And people were more willing to do it on an anonymous application as opposed to over the phone with someone, you know, it's amazing how that works, right? Because even if you're over the phone and you know, you're never going to hear, you know, see or hear from this person again, there's still something psychologically where you go, man, there's someone else here, and you do care about what they think maybe at some level. And that's what we saw. And that's been so interesting. And there's just been so many, almost, you know, one of the things that really worked for us is the media had an insatiable appetite in 2020 to understand how the world was changing. So we were very blessed as a company we did 155 live TV appearances across the country over like a, you know, 4 or 5 month period. And that really did help our business. I mean, it definitely gave us a lot of traction. It's funny how that works, Tim, because like in a million years, you would never imagine that the thing that actually got us on the map would be this pandemic.
That's awesome. It's so interesting. It makes sense, you know, hearing you say it out loud, especially the part around not being comfortable saying something when other people are around, but saying your true thoughts in another format.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. There's whether it's like, you know, public shaming or the approval of others, there is something about that, you know, you're never going to really get down to it unless you can find a way to get like truly into people's psyche and have them be comfortable sharing that information.
And that's happening with True Teams as well. I'll tell you a story. When I worked in corporate America, I would get these surveys from my boss and they'd be like, what do you think of your boss? What do you think of your, look, I've had good bosses. I've had bad bosses, but I always felt like this wasn't fully anonymous, you know? So I would always, you know, straighten. I would go really positive. And look, I don't think I'm the only person doing that. I'm not alone. People are doing that all over America right now. They're optimizing to not, I don't want to cause problems. I'm not a negative person. One of the things we really strive for is to not just say anonymity, but make it truly anonymous. That's why we never ask for people's names. We never have your phone number. We never capture your email. Because it's one thing to be like, give us your name, your email. Oh, don't worry, you're anonymous. What we're saying is like, even in this scenario of a hack, a worst case scenario, no one's going to know how you voted. And I think that's a really important thing. But I'll tell you, it's still a challenge to this day because distrust of our institutions has never been higher, right? There's been a lot of backlash against social media platforms. There's been a lot of backlash against government, all types of institutions. So one of the things we're constantly battling is like convincing our users that we know we are, convincing them. And that's an important messaging thing that we've had to learn, that it's one thing to actually do it. It's another thing to actually convince the users that you've done it.
So interesting. Well, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about your backstory. Entrepreneurship's not for everybody. You seem to be, you know, kind of just very well thought through about the idea and then the execution of the idea. But like, what were you doing before this? Where did it come from? Tell us a little bit about your background.
So I come from a family of entrepreneurs, kind of a crazy family. Like my dad like grew up in Alaska, right? He was up there doing business years ago. He started a few random businesses across the country. He took our family to South Africa at one point, and I literally spent some of my childhood. My sister was born in a Zulu township called Kwadingizi. It's about 30 minutes outside of Johannesburg, South Africa. We were literally living in a township where most of the people there did not have shoes. I mean, it was extreme poverty. And I think since visiting many times since, you know, from an entrepreneurship standpoint, I think there was something fundamental to those experiences, because my sister is also an entrepreneur. She's the founder of a company called Anhill, based in Chicago as well. And they're doing very well. They just raised a big round of funding. And we always talk about, like, how did we both get this sickness of entrepreneurship? Because there's a lot of glamour on the outside. There's no glamour on the inside. I'll tell you that. People think being your own boss is like an exciting, fun thing, because then maybe you wouldn't have to do. No, it's the opposite. It's the exact opposite. If you're your own boss, you're going to work way more. It's going to be way harder, way more stressful. But we had that exemplified in our family, the entrepreneurship gene. I had, you know, decided I wanted to do it. And I think what was important for me, though, was that everyone has a lot of ideas. I needed an idea that was more than money. Because I think the more I've thought about this and had a lot of friends who've gone through this journey, and some have been successful and some have failed, I noticed that money and happiness is not perfectly correlated. And if you're building the business just to like get rich or something like that, I think when it gets really hard, it's easier to quit. I think if you're building it because you're like, I think this should exist, you know, whether it's your business or mine, if you're like, you know what, I'm helping people, it's good for people. I had to find that idea. And once I found that, then it was like, where do I fit? And I think this is a question a lot of young entrepreneurs have. I'm a non-technical founder of a company, right? So you got to figure out, especially if you're starting a tech company, how are you valuable? And I met two incredible technical guys, Ruben and Arson. They've become incredible friends of mine. We've been doing this together for a while. We're brothers now. But when I came to them, I had to figure out what were the skills I was going to bring to the table. So I started learning user experience design, because I realized that that was something I could bring, in addition to being able to sell and communicate and things like that and raise money. And, you know, more recently, before I started True Public, I'd worked on a not-for-profit on the south side of Chicago. And that was kind of, in a small way, that was like my mini startup. I learned how to raise some money, hire a few people, like set it up, like create a website, like a lot of these like very basic things, blocking and tackling of starting a business. It was great to learn that in a very organic way. And then it's just taking the leap. I mean, I had a job, and you can kind of just stand on the edge day after day, month after month. And I invested my personal savings into building essentially like a bootleg prototype of the app. It sucked. You would laugh if you saw it now. It looked horrible, but it was good enough for me to show my co-founders literally, and convince them to join me. Cause those were the first people I had to sell on this idea. And then it was good enough to, you know, get the company off the ground. So that was really the journey of this company. And yeah. It's been exciting.
What was it for you that like ultimately a lot like made you put your notice in and like put like tell everybody about True Public and your idea? Like that's like the key point. Cause like before that, I think a lot of people are at the stage where they have an idea, they're reading like Inc. magazine or Fast Company. Yeah, maybe it's for other reasons where like they don't like reporting to a boss. Like there's other reasons why they want to do it. They're coming up with these ideas. But like to actually like rip the bandaid off and do it and plant the flag, that's a very scary moment, because now you're dealing with people know this. And if it fails, then that could be a very scary outcome for me. And I think it like keeps people from not actually doing it. What was it for you? And did your family background like help kind of push you over the edge?
Couple things. It's a great question, by the way. It is scary. It's terrifying. It's terrifying even to this day. You know, for any business owner, like, your identity can be very tied in with your business. In fact, one of the things I warn people when they start these, my identity cannot be True Public, or I'm going to be a very unhappy person. If my happiness is controlled by whether we closed a big deal or not this week, then that's a recipe for disaster. Same time, though, the reality is there is fear there. Two things happened to me. One was, and not to get too dark, I had a tragedy happen in my life when I was in my mid-20s. I had a close friend of mine actually get murdered in Houston, Texas. And that was foundational to everything that I am today, because it was such a wake-up call. It was like getting hit by a freight train, walking through life. Oh, yeah. And then it's like, wow, people I know can die. They can die suddenly and for no explainable reason. And, you know, it's an unsolved case to this day. It's a crazy thing. That was the first one. And I think that put me on the path to it. And then the second one was my father and happened to be in Atlanta, Georgia for the 4th of July. And there's a lake down there. I forget the name of it. And he said, you know, come down here, meet my friend. This guy's named Billy. He started his own business. I went to his house. We went out on this lake and there was all these fireworks shooting off. And I remember just thinking there, I was like, man, this is a beautiful moment. Life is really short. And I don't know what it was. There was something just sitting out on that water, seeing those fireworks, that I literally came in the next Monday and
that's awesome.
And put in my notice.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. I think I could relate to that to a certain degree. I haven't had that level of tragedy happen, but I think like all of us have in life have a kind of a wake up call. That's like, hey, whatever your religious beliefs are, like your time on this life is like finite.
Yeah.
And fragile. And I'm 36. I'll be 37. Like when I was 18, that doesn't seem like that long ago.
Yeah.
Like that kind of was like, I still feel like kind of young, but like another 18 years on top of that, then you're talking about like, now you're like my parents' age, basically.
Right.
Which is, you know, like it happens a lot quicker and you got to make the most of your time here. And I think maybe for you and I and others, it's like, okay, we got to do this because this is what we want to do. And for other people, it might be like, hey, I'm going to go chill out and I'm not going to worry about the rat race. And I'm going to like, just enjoy what I want to enjoy. I'm going to become a minimalist, or I'm going to like, I think that reality kind of sets in and it resonates in different ways based on what that person wants to do. And I've talked to people like in my entrepreneurial journey that were like mentors to me that like this journey just stressed them out way too much. And then they just said, and they were successful. They just said, screw it. Like, this is not what I want to do in life. And then they moved out of the country and, you know, live in a very kind of like low cost area and are just like surfing, you know, it's like, and I look at that, I'm like, good for you. That's
success.
Awesome.
That could be success too. Like I've always said, like if a guy wants to be a high school teacher, that's success. I mean, you can find fulfillment and you can change the world that way, right? You could, you know, teach someone who becomes something, right? And does something. I think there's so many types of success. I think too much in society, it's all about money and the external trappings, and I don't think that makes people super happy. I do think though that I think what makes you happy is doing what you feel called to do. And for me, it was starting businesses. And for my sister, it's starting businesses. And for you, it is as well. And for everyone, it's something different. But if it is calling you, I always tell people, take the leap. I don't think there's any risk. I mean, Elon Musk was the one who said that. And I'll even go further. It's like, if you fail, no one's going to kill you. You know, you'll probably have a couch to sleep on.
That's the biggest thing I think that's holding people back is the fear of it not working out and then, you know, what will happen. So I think there's like, hey, don't be like super reckless. Like if you're in debt right now, yeah, you might want to like get a job and then start it on the side to start. Like there's different ways of starting it, right? Yeah. But you don't want to be reckless. You don't want to put yourself in such a scary position. But I think you're right. Like I think people are like bound by fear. They don't take an opportunity, something that they really, 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 truly want to do. And the alternative of them not doing that is like leading to unhappiness. And they're just stuck for a really, really long time, as opposed to trying it, maybe failing. So what? But you can always go back to what you were doing before, right? And I think that's the key piece that like really, really hold people back. And I don't know if you've had like friends, like I have high school friends or even like people I haven't talked to since high school or college or a really long time that I used to work with in the past that reach out to me and be like, hey, I got an idea about something. Like, how did you do it? Or, you know,
all the time.
And I'm thinking like, I got to carve out time for this person because I was doing the same shit like 5 years prior to me starting this. Like I needed those conversations to be like, oh, Caban did it. Oh, Tim did it. Oh, okay. Like it's hard, but he's like still eating food and stuff. And like, he gets to take a vacation every once in a while. Like, okay. And it took me that to like ultimately make the plunge that like other people are doing it that I know.
Yep.
And it's going to be okay.
That's why I always take those calls. I got two of those calls tonight where I'm talking to people fresh out of college or thinking about starting these. And like, the reason I take those is like, I'm so appreciative of the people that took my literally stupid calls. I mean, I'm asking the questions that are like embarrassing to ask in hindsight. Right. And yeah, that's just the circle of it. Right. I think there is something about that, but it's true. It's like, and look, and I made, and I'm continuing to make so many mistakes in this business, but we're still going to succeed wildly in my opinion. And that's also kind of comforting. It's like, you also don't have to be perfect. You know, you can make mistakes and still ultimately succeed in this game. And that's exciting.
Everything that's scary, you know, start off with seeking out information, seeking out mentors. It becomes less scary over time.
That's true.
Let's finish there. Caban, I feel like we're catching you at like chapter three of a 10 chapter book. So I'd love to like tap back into you, you know, a couple of years down the road and see the continued success of True Public and True Teams. But I think we mentioned at the beginning of the show, if they wanted to download the app or learn more about your company or you, where can they find you and True Public?
Yeah, you just download True Public in the iPhone or Android app store. And also go to trueteams.co or truepublic.com to learn more about those two businesses and what they're doing. And yeah, we're really excited about it.
Caban, thanks so much for joining us and carving out the time. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Thanks everybody for tuning in to another episode of Fireside Chicago. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation with Caban. Definitely check out True Public, www.truepublic.com. Check them out at the App Store and the Android Store if you have an Android phone. We have a great list of potential guests coming through for the remainder of the year. Make sure that you hit the subscribe button if you haven't already, and we'll see you next time.